Mecum Auctions, the world's largest collector car auction company, returns to Indy with Dana Mecum's 37th Original Spring Classic, May 10th through the 18th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. 3,000 muscle cars, Corvettes, exotics, and more. Broadcast on Motor Trend TV and streaming live on Max. From avid collectors to those new to the Mecum experience, we welcome everyone. Register to bid now at Mecum.com.
Marcus Bailey, Wish TV meteorologist, who is outraged, I say, that he was not taken in the first round by the Indianapolis Colts.
I know.
They took an edge rusher, a pass rusher. And Marcus Bailey is like, what about me, who could sit in the stands and cheer quite voraciously?
Yeah. No, I mean, I do that every year, but I just keep waiting for my number to get called, Tony, and just another year passes by. So
damn you, Chris Ballard.
Right.
Damn you to hell, ruining a young man's dreams.
I don't know if I'm young anymore, but yes, thank you.
Ruining a middle-aged man's dreams.
Oh, brother. Hey, happy Friday. Should be a nice, mild day today. It's dry to start. Watch out for a few spotty showers and storms mid to late afternoon. If you're heading downtown for the Pacers at 5:30, there might be a few showers and storms. I do think a lot of areas are going to be dry. 66 will be your high. Tonight, slightly better chances for some scattered showers and storms. It's going to be a very mild overnight as well, 63. Big warm-up this week. In fact, warmest temperatures of the season so far. Saturday, at least for the morning, some scattered showers and storms. I think the afternoon is dry. We'll finish with a high of 82. Sunday, mostly sunny, very warm, a high of 83. And then we'll see a return of more widespread showers and storms. Monday, still mild with highs in the mid-70s.
That is Marcus Bailey, a man with broken dreams.
Broken. Broken. Well, always next year.
Broken. Damn you, Shane Steichen.
That's right.
By the way, did you even try out?
No. No, oh. I was hoping I was just going to go on reputation. So it hasn't worked.
Oh, you know what? I just figured out the flaw in your plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. Yeah. Reputation. You don't really have.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. You know. Okay. Yeah, it's not good.
Oh, thank you. I love your honesty, Tony. Thank you.
Well, that's why they pay me the medium bucks.
That's right.
That's it. It's for that and how I look in jeans. That's the 1-2 punch that got Tony Katz paid. That is it.
Wow.
Right there. Marcus Bailey, Wish TV meteorologist. Appreciate you. 45 degrees in the American Standard Cooling Weather Center. The time is 6:08. That is the newest Colt. 15th pick. I'd be lying if I said I had enough data on the NFL draft to be able to say this was a good pick or not a good pick. But the argument that you're at pick number 15, the 14 picks ahead of you were all offensive, which means the best of the best of the defensive side were still on the board, and you said, well, let's just go with that. That is a rational argument. And it's not like you would have a problem with somebody, you know, drafting a pass rusher. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. UCLA. We're all going to learn about this thing that he had with his neck when he played with Washington that actually, quote unquote, ended his career. And then it was like, well, maybe if you try this, maybe if you do that. And 2 years of playing at UCLA at a very, very high level. And the Colts feel that it's worth the risk. And the boards had this guy, Liatu, L-A-I-A-T-U. Liatu Latu is his name, last name L-A-T-U. Worth it. Worth the pick. It's kind of hard to get, you don't know what the future is going to bring. You never know what the future is going to bring, but it's kind of hard to be angry at the Colts for going in this direction. But nothing was a crazier pick than the Atlanta Falcons at number 8, after signing Kirk Cousins, quarterback, to a 4-year, $180 million contract, they pick up Michael Penix Jr. Plays for Washington in college, used to play for IU. They picked him up number 8. They took him before J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan, Bo Nix out of Oregon. I don't know, but it was very clear that everybody across Draftland who was, you know, there, you know, announcing and they make them expect everybody, they all had the same look on their face. Really? Is that right? And then some of them had the other look and they were like, did the Falcons just take Michael Penix Jr.? Right? It was this.
What happened?
There it is, right there. Yeah. It was something. But the draft is there. And that's what's going on. Is Joseph Newgarden doing a press conference today? Because this story about the whole push-to-pass thing for the IndyCar driver, Team Penske, disqualified from the St. Pete finish and has the win stripped from him because he utilized a tool that you're not supposed to utilize. Maybe it shouldn't have been in the car, but he knew he wasn't supposed to utilize it. And they're like, well, they stripped it from him. And Team Penske said, we'll accept this. And people thought that was the end of it. And the fans were like, oh, no, that's not the end of it. What is this nonsense? Why was Joseph Newgarden utilizing this tool? Scott McLaughlin did it as well. And now I think Newgarden's doing a press conference today because people are not happy. And when I say it looks like he cheated, knew he cheated, got caught, and tried to just hide under the rug about it, that's exactly, I think, what happened. I think that this is actually something that is reverberating. And the question I have is, will it reverberate in the paddock? Will it reverberate in the garage? Will it reverberate with other teams that now start to question every result? That's the question I have. We'll find out soon enough. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Mr. Sauer and others have identified events in the past where presidents have engaged in conduct that might have been charged as a federal crime. And you say, well, no, that's not really true. This is page 42 of your brief. So what about President Franklin D. Roosevelt's decision to intern Japanese Americans during World War II? Couldn't that have been charged under 18 U.S.C. 241, conspiracy against civil rights?
Today, yes, given this court's decision in Trump versus United States, in which where the court said Korematsu was overruled. I mean, President Roosevelt made that decision with the advice of his attorney general. That's a layer of
safeguard. Is that really true? I thought Attorney General Biddle thought that there was really no threat of sabotage, as did J. Edgar Hoover.
So I think that there is a lot of historical controversy, but it underscores that occurred during wartime. It implicates potential commander-in-chief concerns about the exigencies of national defense.
This is the Justice Department saying why, even though they believe that you can charge a president with a crime committed during their term in office, there might be places where you can't. It was a rather interesting argument in front of the Supreme Court, because the argument made by Michael Dreeben there, who is with the Justice Department in front of Justice Alito and the rest of the court, was that the idea that there are acts that the president could engage in that can't be charged as crimes simply can't exist, except, of course, in places where it can. And it was within that that maybe the Justice Department hurt themselves in their case. But when it came to Trump's lawyers, Trump's lawyers admitted that there are differences between private acts and public acts. So maybe not every act is covered by immunity. Everything about what we saw in front of the Supreme Court yesterday is all a question of how you want to take it. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Great to be with you. The phone number, 317-239-9393. It was interesting as I was, you know, putting together information for the show, like Wall Street Journal, Supreme Court appears open to some of Donald Trump's immunity claims. This is News Nation. SCOTUS seems skeptical of Trump's presidential immunity argument. Everybody has an opinion. Everyone, including the absolute radicals of cable news, who wonder how come you're not rioting in the streets already.
Nothing that happened today with the Supreme Court being in the tank for Donald Trump is surprising
at all.
To you.
No.
It's not surprising to me.
At all.
It's not surprising to your viewers at home. You know why? Because we're not stupid, all right? Donald Trump called his shot months ago. He said, my Supreme Court justices will never let this happen to me. And he was absolutely right.
Yep.
So with that information, my question to the American people is now, what are you prepared to do? Because the Supreme Court has exposed itself as a partisan institution full of hacks that will do everything in their power to protect Donald Trump and make sure that a Republican can be elected, not just in the next election, but in every election going forward.
That's an argument. I have the Wall Street Journal and the News Nation with different opinions on what happened. In terms of how the court took the information, the questions that they asked. No decision has been made yet. That won't come till the summer. But here is cable news letting you know that everybody's a hack and the people have to rise up and fight against the court. That's exactly what we need. We need the temperature hotter. Yes, what we're seeing on college campuses all across the country, including IU and including Purdue, that's not hot enough. Not hot enough. University of Southern California, USC, as the friends call it, they've canceled their commencement exercises. They've canceled graduation. They can't guarantee safety because they don't want to. And here's MSNBC just turning it up. I must admit to you that I don't know where I think I don't know where the court's going to go. I don't have a good opinion about it. I think that there is an argument for all of it. If I'm holding true to my previous words, my argument has been that I don't know how the court is going to rule that somehow a president cannot be charged for crimes committed even while they were in office. It is clear that to me that there's an argument to be made for quote unquote official acts, right? The job, and then maybe things that are extracurricular. Now, what's going to come is, what if things done during the course of the job turned out to be incorrect? So one of the things that was brought up was Barack Obama engaging in drone strikes that killed American citizens. Is that something that he could be charged with a crime for? Now, I would argue no matter how disgusting the drone strikes are, the answer is no. I would answer that if it was in the course of a response militarily to a hostile force, the answer would be no. If he was dropping drones, you know, or utilizing drones to kill people somewhere in Carmel, I would answer, well, I guess it depends on where Carmel. I would say, yes, that can be charged as a crime. Carmel, even I don't think you deserve that. And I live here. I'm not sure. But I would have a hard time thinking that the court is going to say everything is immune. I didn't get that vibe. But I got nothing that told me that they were going to, you know, indemnify or not say or say that the president cannot be held responsible for anything the president does when in office. I didn't get that either. And as William Jacobson from Cornell Law School said, he thought that the Supreme Court was going to give as narrow of a ruling as possible, send it back to the lower courts and say, you figure it out. This is not actually for us. You can listen to that on the podcast that you can get at WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
.com.
Whenever I'm out a-wandering, chasing a rainbow dream, I often stop and think about a place I've never seen.
Where friends today in the marketplace, anybody want a motorcycle?
Until they say goodbye.
Anyone? Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. During the breaks, I like to clear my head sometimes and get ready for what we're going to do next. And to do that, I find myself going through Facebook Marketplace and just looking at different things. And some things I buy and some things I don't. Today, a 1950 Jawa Parak 250. I don't even know what that is. Matt Bear, I have no idea what this is.
Does it come with one of those side carts that you can ride in? You
know? When I saw it, 1950 Jawa Parak 250, I didn't know what it was. It's a motorcycle.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. You get
right. Thing. It is a very cool looking motorcycle. Like it looks like an old school Indian. That's how I would. I'm talking about the motorcycle.
Oh, what?
And that's what it looks like with how the you know, that front headlight works and the fenders. It's like it's the kind of thing that you would put in you almost use like an art piece in the house or in front of the house. Although I don't know how many people would put like an old motorcycle in front of the house, but it's outrageously cool. And so I'm on this Facebook page, which I posted on X. If you follow me on X, you'll see it. And then one of the shots in the background, there's like 11 motorcycles. So somebody just collects weirdo stuff. And every now and then it's like, I'm going to sell my weirdo stuff. I don't know how you get into this. If I knew anything about motorcycles, I'd be like, this is the greatest thing ever.
It sounds like one of those motorbikes that you would ride downtown on a Friday night, you know, just to kind of show off, you know, and people are like, yeah, that's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, but this one, I'm not quite sure you would ride this anywhere. But yes, it is one of the, see, I don't know. Maybe you wouldn't even ride it. Maybe you'd just like have it, which doesn't make any sense to me anyway. You would want to be able to utilize it.
So this person has like one motorcycle, but then like a collection of motorcycles. Are they also antiques, collectible items, or are they just...
They are in the background. They look like they would be unique.
Okay.
That's what I would say. This is in Greenfield, in Indiana. So the 1950... Jawa Parak, P-E-R-A-K, 250.
Sounds like a cup of coffee.
It does, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would order that skinny, Matt Bear. You don't want those extra calories, do you?
No,
you don't, big fatty. You don't want those.
Excuse me.
You don't want those extra calories, you moo.
Stop shaming me.
Ah, please. You could use a little shaming.
Well, yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
That's what's going on in the marketplace. Sponsorships now available. People are into cool things. They're doing cool stuff. They're selling your stuff. So, I don't know. Get buying. Buy local. That's all there is. And don't worry. When it comes to what just happened with Joe Hogsett, Major League Soccer and the Indy 11, I've put the story together. You ain't going to believe this. That is coming up at 7:06. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Three arrested on the IU Bloomington campus. We've got the story at WIBC.com. Far be it from me to correct my own people, but the headline, Kurt Darling with the reporting, 33 pro-Palestinian protesters arrested on IU Bloomington campus. I would have written it as 33 pro-Hamas bloodlusters arrested. But, you know, what can I say? I'm a poet. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. They set up tents and tables on Dunmeadow, chanting "Free, Free Palestine." So let's start with what we discussed yesterday. You can't find Palestine on a map. What they mean is to put an end to Israel. This is a call for genocide, and that's what happened on the campus of IU. So all you people donating to Indiana University, are we clear now about what's going on? This is what happened on the campus of IU. And this is happening all over the place. Ohio State had issues. We already know Columbia, NYU, and a host of others. It was only a matter of time. But the police came out. People resisted. 33 got arrested. Damn straight. And for the ACLU of Indiana that's upset about this, you're not allowed to have the encampments. They got arrested. What's your issue? This isn't a free speech conversation. Go on to a street corner, gather some friends, and have a protest. You want to set up an encampment? You're going to get arrested. And also ACLU of Indiana, so we understand each other. This is my thought about you. If these people were protesting against Black Americans or gay Americans, you would demand that they were shot on sight. Oh, the Jews. Let them speak. Now, I'm the guy who says let them speak. Because between the two of us, ACLU of Indiana, one of us has a rational, cogent argument across the through line, and one of us is the ACLU of Indiana. Of course, let them speak. I mean, they're wrong, and they're disgusting, and they're despicable. And as long as they're not in, you know, promoting violence, we're fine. Except, of course, Free Palestine is a call to genocide, just like From the River to the Sea, because it's the other side of the same coin. That's the word I was looking for. These are all calls to genocide. And then, of course, there are those people who actually are out there saying, kill the Zionists. And if you say to me, nobody's saying that, wait for the popcorn moment, would you? Would you just hold on? I promise to deliver, kitten. Just so you know where we're at. I would be surprised if anybody was surprised that this would come to Indiana and come to the campus of IU. You know, this is the home of Abdulkader Sino, the professor there at IU, who works with these pro-Hamas students, that's my words, and tries to be as supportive of them as possible. Now, this is a professor that got suspended, and of course, there's a question of whether or not that should have taken place. Should the suspension have taken place? Because he got a room for an event for one of these groups. And that was not, you know, a proper use of, how did they describe it? Not a proper use of the facilities. And they used it as an excuse to suspend him. I thought that was an an interesting take that they would do such a thing. But they would have done it for any other person, right? They would have just suspended away. There are people on the campus of IU, not very friendly people, not very good people. The arrest of these people has to do with the violation of rules. That's what it has to do with. You want to be a bigot, you can. Just do it on a street corner. Don't set up tents. I'm glad they got arrested. I'm happy to see IU not putting up with this stuff. And for the people at IU who are like, how dare President Witten or anybody else, maybe when you give her a vote of no confidence, she's like, well, screw it. Maybe it compelled her to do the right things. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens next.